You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth. All the time, this is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito from Island Community Church, and we greet you here today. God bless you. Happy Friday. Thank God it's Friday, and it is also Good Friday. Good for us, not so good for the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that he endured on this day. Now, here today on WGOD, you're going to hear a sermon I preached about a year ago on Resurrection Sunday. It's coming out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. It's called The Road to Emmaus. It's a look at what the Lord did himself on Easter morning. So that's what we're going to hear today. I invite you to church this weekend. We meet Sunday morning, 10:30. Now, Pastor Darren Solana will be bringing the word this weekend, and I encourage and invite all of you, if you are new to the area or looking for a new church home, we warmly greet you and welcome you to stop by Island Community Church, worship the Lord Jesus Christ here at our church. We'd love to see you. Here is part one now of this message. This is On the Road to Emmaus.
Good morning again, and happy Resurrection Day to everyone. Hate to see the waterfall that's going to come out of that jacket. So how's your week been? Mine's been kind of blah since I canceled the midweek Bible study this week. Last time I make that mistake. I see the president had a bad week. He was caught shaking hands with the invisible man. Claude Rains lives. But I've been thinking about Peter and Judas this past week. Talk about having a bad week. This is what happened to Peter during his Holy Week celebration. Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. Danny, I'm a little hot on here. Chapter 22, verse 54. This is what happened to Peter. No, I don't mean the air conditioning. I mean my microphone. Though you can make it 58 in here, brother, that's fine with me. Now, having arrested him, that's Jesus, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Funny, that's the Greek word apostasy. Stasis means a place to stand. Apo means from a distance. Apostasy means you're afraid to walk with someone close. You got to follow at a distance so that you don't break a nail. That's what Peter did. Now, when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard, they sat down together. Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he, Peter, sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." After a little while, another saw him and said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then after a little while, another saw him and said, "You are one of them." Verse 59. Then after about an hour had passed, another had confidently affirmed. Meaning a third one comes and says, "You can bet your sweet bippy that I've seen him. And you're with Jesus." Confidently affirmed. "Surely this fellow is with him because he's a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you were saying." Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And then it says, can you imagine this, Bill? You're Peter, I'm Jesus. At least you were me for a second. It says, and then Jesus turned. Can you imagine that? Having him turn and look at you eye to eye? Which is why the text says Peter did what Bill just did. Peter went out and wept bitterly. You see, this failure changed his life. Failure changed your life too. Failures have changed my life. I can't even start to grasp how many times God has taken a failure in my life and has turned it around and turned it into something grand. Because God is great. And he loves you and cares about you. And he'll take your mistakes and turn them around for good. That's what he did with Peter. I don't recommend you try that one at home. If God forgave Pete for what he did, don't you think he can forgive you for your sins? Now, the next morning, we see this scene going on. Judas Iscariot, Matthew chapter 27. Now when morning had came, and the chief priests and the elders of the people, they plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, see, catch this. You see, Judas was deceived into what he did. Notice he's upset about what happened. He didn't plan this. He got tricked into doing what he did. Satan played on his weak point in his life. Pressed on that broken bone that he had, on that weakness that he had. And it says here, it says that then Judas, when he saw that Jesus had been condemned, he was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, and he cried out saying, I've sinned! I've sinned! By betraying innocent blood. And they said to him, what's that to us? You see to it. What do we care? So then he threw down, really the word means here, it means to hurl. If there's any people here old enough to remember Nolan Ryan, he threw a Nolan Ryan fastball into the temple. He hurled the money and departed and went out and hung himself. I would say this week hasn't been too good for him. And if that's not enough, we got Matthew chapter 27, verse 33. Now when they came to the place called Golgotha, that is the place of the skull, they gave him, that's Jesus our Lord, they gave him sour wine mixed with gall. Greek word there is a wormwood. They gave him sour wine mixed with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. You see, no wormwood for Jesus. By the way, gall would have been a sedative. Sort of like, have a drink, feel no pain. He refused the sedative. He was going to feel the pain for our sin. Jesus was going to suffer for all of Paul Esposito's sins. And he was going to feel them all too. Not like when Paul Esposito goes to the dentist and says, load me up, doc. They tried to load him up, and he goes, nope, you ain't loading me up. I am going to feel all this so I can relate to you when you're suffering too. You've got someone you can relate to because Jesus has suffered like you and so much more. He refused this. O always understand. He can always relate and understand what you are going through because Jesus has been there. You know, sometimes you try to explain things to people or friends and you say, you just can't relate. Or when I hear people that I know whose spouses have died, I say to them, I can relate. I understand. I've been through what you're going through, and I can understand. I know how you feel because I've been there. And Jesus understands your suffering as well because no one has suffered more than the Son of God. And when they tried to numb the pain, he said, no. I'm going to feel this down to the very last person here. Pastor Darren was showing us in Sunday school, that's for everyone even that's not just has died, but everyone that's going to live and die. He's already experienced their pain and suffering. His favorite name for himself was the Son of Man. When you cry out to him and say, I'm hurting, he doesn't say, I can't relate because I was numb. Jesus can relate, and he knows what you're going through and how you feel. All right, verse 35. So then they crucified him, divided his garments, casting lots, so that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. Quote, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Unquote. That, by the way, was written down 970 years before it happened. And you can find that in Psalm 22, verse 18, that says, they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Wow, what a prophecy that is. Verse 37, and they put over his head the accusation written against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and another on the left. Those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads, saying, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you're the Son of God, then come down from the cross. That also, that statement there, 970 years before it was written down in eternity in Psalm 22. Verse 41, likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he's the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and then we'll believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened. The veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. All of this happened on that night and early morning. Let's call this, to humor all of you, let's call this Friday. Good Friday. Friday. Good for who? Okay, now, let's pick it up. If you'd like to turn, if you got your Bibles, let's pick it up now in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Now, Jesus is dead. As far as these travelers knew, whom we're about to catch up with here. Not sure if they knew the tomb was empty or not. And they were on their way back to wherever they came from. And they're dejected. By the way, can't you just hear this now? To be a fly on the wall here. Hear this conversation. I can't believe he's dead. They must have said. We thought he was the Messiah, I'm sure one of them said. But he died on Friday, he said. What a weekend, the other one said. Or perhaps, oh man, our taxes are due this Monday. Crashing back down to reality. And I thought he was going to eliminate state income tax. That's the banter that must have been going on this Easter morning here. Now, Luke chapter 24, verse 13. That's the backdrop to this scene, to these two guys that were at the cross. Jesus is dead. They're bummed out. Now they're going to go home. Now, behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as they talked together of all these things, which had happened. You see, I'm not making this stuff up. Well, maybe some of it. But I'm sure I'm not that far-fetched, am I? So it was, this is verse 15, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near them and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so that they did not know or they did not recognize him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? In other words, to use the Esposito vernaculars, what kind of muck is all this that I hear? Then the one who was named Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Or have you not known the things that happen here in these days? Or, as Ron Howard back here would put it, have you been living under a rock these last 3 days? All right, they answered, they said, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not known the things which have happened here in these days? And Jesus said to them, what things? That's the funniest verse in the whole New Testament. There's the Son of God, the creator of everything. Haven't you heard of these things? He goes, what things are that? Really? That's hilarious. I'll tell you why these two didn't recognize him. Jesus was testing them to see what they knew. He was going to test their Bible knowledge. And now, here's the rest of their answer to Jesus. Watch for the catchwords here regarding where these guys went wrong. Okay? Verse 19, Jesus says to them, what things? So they said to him, the things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But, there's the first buzzword, but. But we were hoping that it was he that was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. All right, the first thing where they went wrong is there is no but after crucify. That's the plan all along. Revelation 13 says Jesus' death and crucifixion were marked out in advance before the foundation of the world. You can't add a but after crucify. It's God's plan. You can't change that. We always look for another alternative, you know. Oh, not that. Even Peter did that. No, not that, Lord. Far be it from you. You can't. There's no but after crucify. Verse 22. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. There's problem number two. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Problem number two. And the word astonish. Why are you surprised at this? Astonished? Where have you been the last year? You know what, Ron? I think it's these guys that have been under the rock. They certainly weren't walking with him. This was all he talked about for 3.5 years. Why are you astonished at the empty tomb of Jesus Christ? Praise God, he said it was going to be this way. There's no surprise. Our Savior has risen. He's risen indeed. The tomb is empty. That kills me, these shows I see on TV. Some yuckity-yuck finding the bones of Jesus. And they're like, ah, we found him, we found him. You ain't finding his bones. They find his bones and Mary Magdalene, his wife, and his kids. And after, you know, he was crucified, he was just out of breath. And then he went and he moved to England. Never heard that story before. The truth says in Psalm 16 that you will not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. The prophecy is Jesus would never, his body would not decay in a tomb. That was the prophecy. They shouldn't have been surprised here. Verse 24, certain of those who were with us, they went to the tomb and found it just like the woman had said, but him they did not see. So now from their perspective, they were bewildered by two things. Number one, the Messiah had died. Number two, his body was missing and not in the tomb. They didn't understand. Now for his answer to them. Verse 25, he said to them, oh, you fools! And slow. You know, that was one of those buzzwords we used to use in the playground against kids. What a derogatory thing to say to these guys. He called them slow. Oh, you foolish and you slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And then, like it says up here, beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. All right, first of all, calls them slow, slow of heart. Derogatory term. And he called them fools. Fools for not knowing the word of God. I recently read the comment, the greatest mistake a person could ever make in their life would be to mistake who Jesus is. Let me say that again. The greatest, God bless you, and he has too. The greatest mistake a person could ever make in their life would be to mistake who Jesus is. C.S. Lewis talks about that too. He is either Lord or he's lunatic. There's no middle ground. Well, oh, he was a good teacher. No, he's Lord and you bow the knee to him. Or he was a lunatic and a crazy man. There is no third option with Jesus. Just last week on Palm Sunday, Jesus said this to his disciples. Luke 19:44, he said, your enemies will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation. So beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Meaning, all he needed was the Old Testament, which was all they had anyway. They didn't have a New Testament. I and Jesus and anyone else, you can prove who Jesus is with, you don't even look at that. There's not one New Testament verse up here. You don't need a New Testament to prove Jesus. Amen. The Bible screams Jesus. From Genesis 1:1 to Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. It's all about Jesus. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Everything is about him. Everything. It's important to see on Jesus, on Easter morning, that Jesus taught Bible prophecy. That's what he did on his resurrection morning. Here's a few of those At random, I'll give you some of the things he would have said to these guys. Deuteronomy 18:18. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. Here's my personal favorite. Micah,
over there on the right-hand column.
Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. Listen, it is 600 years before Jesus. But you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you is going to come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, even from eternity. Praise God, what a prophet. You'll know the Messiah when he gets here, when he has no beginning. That kind of narrows it down to a few. What do you think? Whose goings forth are from old. You know, people have said, well, those are just New Testament. The New Testament, they added that to the Bible. You see, these verses here are in my Greek Septuagint Old Testament. That goes back to 250 B.C. These things were written 250 years before Jesus Christ, and they're in the library at Alexandria, Egypt, amongst other places too. You can't say Christians added these things later. 700 years before Jesus, the Old Testament says, you'll know it's him when he can't find his beginning. Narrows it down.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You're listening to WWBC, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.